B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3 o'clock hour, Mike Vizzinelli Show. At 3 o'clock hour, it's brought to us by Corpalese Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie, hoagie party, Chase Ed Biz Good. It is General Knowledge Wednesday. We are giving away, of course, the chip trucks and $100 gift certificate to Carlino's, which is a great prize today. And we'll get into this. We're about to analyze Boston versus the Sixers. But before that, since I was talking about The Last Seduction, this is one of the all-time movies that you should see.
Okay.
It's so off people's radar, but it's a totally enjoyable. It's an erotic thriller sort of movie. Okay. Like, you'll be enthralled with every moment of it.
All right.
And Peter Berg's in it. Peter Berg, Bill Pullman is the dutiful husband, as he usually is. Oh, and way over his head with Linda Fiorentino, who's the vamp.
Okay.
You know, like, it's kind of a mismatched pair where she's like exotic and exciting and the whole bit. But she cons him. He's a doctor. He's a kindly doctor. And she cons him into getting drugs and partnering with drug dealers and stuff like that. And then from the profits, she takes off and starts living in a small town. Now, he owes money to drug dealers, so he's got to find her. Meanwhile, in the local town, she falls in love with a local.
Another cornball
type
dude?
No, who's Peter Berg.
Oh, okay.
Who's more of a badass guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he doesn't know he's getting flim-flammed. Because she then uncovers this elaborate plot where she wants Peter Berg to kill Bill Pullman.
What?
Yeah, but she winds up flim-flamming Peter Berg, too.
See?
It's really good. And you know whose house is in it? Markinson's in it from A Few Good Men.
Oh, okay.
And Hank from Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. So check that out. All right, so 3 o'clock hour. Here's what we're doing. We're the all-time Sixer team that we determined, and we're going to just kind of measure it against all the other franchises. We already did the Atlanta Hawks. The Sixers blow away Atlanta Hawks. So it's Iverson, Greer, Wilt, Barkley, Irving. And coming off the bench, Tony, Bobby Jones, and or Mo Cheeks. All right, so now let's go to Boston. Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Bird.
Yep.
Havlicek.
Yep.
Bob Cousy.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce.
Yeah, that's what ESPN did. And then...
Now, we got to get a couple off the bench here.
Mikhail has to be on the squad.
Mikhail off the bench with
you can go a lot of different ways with this one.
Yeah, they're all kind of the same here. Would you go Chief?
You can go Chief and go Garnett.
All right, so that five plus whoever you want to tack on, is that, well, that's five Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
The Sixers also
five
have five Hall of Famers.
Actually, seven Hall of Famers. Well, if you add
with Jones and Cheeks?
Yeah, if you go Cheeks. If not, Tony was Hall of Fame level, just didn't play as long.
But Mikhail's Hall of Famer also, that matches Hall of Fame for Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's up to the seventh guy. So if you go Cheeks, you got seven Hall of Famers. Who's Boston's seventh guy? How about Cowens?
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer as well. Cowens is in.
That's gotta be a push. Then.
That's like a push. The Sixers five but is strong.
Does Boston have a better seven Hall of Famer than the Sixers?
See, my issue is the Cousy. I think Greer's a better player than Cousy every single day of the week. So when you go old school versus for old school,
but Cousy was the point guard.
He was, but I'm saying this. So imagine I'm trying to play the game out.
All right.
AI is doing the koozie, it's so bad. It's so bad. They don't be a bird is cooking. Everybody else is getting there. I'm saying, but AI is doing the koozie, it's so bad that at best it's a push because AI is cooking koozie.
Well, Bird is the four in this configuration because that means Havlicek would have to be the
They put Havlicek at the
or
two.
Or Pierce.
And Pierce at the three.
Pierce is the three.
And they put Bird at the four.
Well, Pierce Irving matchup, Bird Barkley.
Barkley, that's pretty much a push
Bird,
in a game. Bird's a better player.
Yeah. Russell Wilt is always that age old.
Right.
I don't know, man. I can't call it.
It's close. It's razor thin.
Yeah, it is. All right, Jerome in Sicklerville. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jerome.
Hey, Mike. How you doing? How you guys
doing? What's up, Jerome?
All right, man. I really called about that LeBron list, but I'm listening to this Boston. I'm not a Boston fan, but I'm listening to this list. What about the great JoJo White? What about Dennis Johnson?
But both great players, but I wouldn't put them in the same realm of the guys we're talking about.
You wouldn't put them.
You would make, listen. You would have a case if you're really an old school guy. You would go Sam Jones over who you mentioned.
Yeah, Dennis Johnson. Yeah.
Sam Jones would be the quintessential guy, except nobody knows who he is.
I remember him.
I mean, he was the heyday two guy when Russell's winning all the championships. Sam Jones was like the second best player on that team with Havlicek.
Oh, okay. I'm just surprised Pierce was there. He was a great player. He was, you know.
Pierce probably should be on it. You know, long career there.
Yeah, I guess. They got a lot of great players.
So if you heard both those sevens, right? Sixers and the Boston Celtics, who you going with? Who you going with?
I got to go with Philly.
You going with Sixers?
I mean, you got to remember, Andrew Toney was the Boston Strangler.
Yeah, but he wasn't a Hall of Famer.
Well, he should have been. I don't care. I mean,
he didn't play long enough to be a Hall of Famer.
He should have been. He was going to be one of the greatest.
What he was going to be is different than what he was, though.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, man. And what'd you want to say about that LeBron not being on Pierce's list?
I mean, I know how you feel about centers, Mike. So, I mean, if you add the centers, but I wanted to say, Jerry West, doesn't he have a logo or something like that?
He's the NBA logo.
If you look at Julius Erving in the NBA and the ABA, I mean, you don't put him in there anywhere?
No.
He was unstoppable at one time.
Not in the top five.
You don't think so?
No. He's not in the top five.
He was unstoppable at one time.
No, he really couldn't shoot it, Julius. He couldn't. He didn't shoot it really until later in his career. He did not have a great touch. I loved him. Believe me, but it always seemed like his hands were too big to shoot jump shots. It didn't come out of his hand right.
Listen, man,
if you're not including centers, to me, it's a straight five of Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, Magic, Bird. That's the five.
Okay.
All right. You want a general knowledge question?
Sure.
1970s American TV trivia.
Okay.
All right. How much did it cost to build the Bionic Man, Steve Austin?
$6 million.
You got it. $6 million. That's a bargain by today's standards.
Yeah, you won't get you nothing. $6 million.
You could add a lot more, you know, little doodads.
That's right.
Steve Austin today.
Real fast.
What?
With the golf this weekend, because we got no Last Dance, but you got the big Tiger versus Phil matchup.
Yeah.
Well, they added something to the fifth hole for people that are watching.
Mm-hmm.
At the fifth hole, it's a one club challenge.
Oh, you got to use one club to play
one
a hole?
One club to play everything.
Ooh.
At the fifth hole. Booney just sent this to me. So apparently this is common in off TV events. People do this when they're betting. But yeah, the fifth hole for people watching in the Tiger versus Phil, everybody has to use one club.
That's exciting.
I think that actually makes it a little more fun.
So do I.
I think that's a little wrinkle.
Yeah. See, I got the club that would win that.
Well, what club would you pick?
I carry a club that nobody carries. It's called a chipper. And it's got a thicker head, but it's like a two iron angle to it.
Okay.
So I can hit it like 150.
Okay.
So I can tee off with it. I can hit a fairway iron with it. And it's thick enough where I can blade a putt.
If you need
it. Now, the problem would be in the sand trap with that club.
I would have
to avoid all sand.
So you got to probably be conservative. I wonder what Tiger pulls out of. Does he go the fifth hole? I got to see.
Yeah, what is it? Was the chipper what I say. Used?
The fifth is a par four. So I wonder, do you pull the driver out of the bag and try to get as close as possible? I'm just wondering, and use that the whole time, because it's par four.
It's a par four. They got to do one club.
One club. Yeah, so I'm wondering, do you hit the heck out of it to get as close as you can and then pull back, or do you like a three wood? I'm trying to think of what the strategy is.
I would probably, if it's one club for those guys on a par four, I'd probably hit a hybrid.
Okay.
Which is like a four or five wood type of club that would be able to get you to the green. Mm-hmm. Again, the problem is if you've hit sand. So you can use that club anywhere else and just pop it and get it to the green. You can even pop a putt with that.
See, yeah. And the tough part with Tiger and Phil's way, as they gotten older, they just hit it as far as they can, not really fully worried about where it goes because they feel like they can power it out of wherever. They can't do that with that.
No, you can't hit driver. Driver can't beat a club you hit because you can't do anything else with it.
Yeah, that's going to be...
That's exciting.
This is going to be fun to watch this weekend.
They,
I'm looking forward to it.
Probably wouldn't hit a hybrid. They hit their irons long anyway, so they would have to hit an iron in case they got into a trap. They would just have to really slant the iron to get it on like a sand wedge plane. But okay. You'd have to have a angled club. All so right. That's what they would probably
do. And then
use.
I wonder what Peyton and Brady are going to do on that, too. They're for probably different dynamic for them because there's no way they're as long. So I wonder what they
hit
do.
A 6-iron. They could hit a 6-iron 220. 6-iron would probably be the club they would hit. We'll see what that's okay. That's really, that's fun. That's a fun little thing.
A little note. Yeah.
All right, so like I was talking to you about the Farrelly brothers. Dumb and Dumber, it's ridiculously stupid. There's nothing funny about it.
You did not laugh once.
It's ridiculous.
You didn't laugh
you know
once.
The impression I got out of that was
what?
That I bypassed one of the great older school beauties when I was making that list with you guys.
Uh-huh.
Lauren Holly.
Yes.
Big
yes.
time.
Yes.
Yes.
She was.
Right.
She was strong in
yes.
the
yes.
I
beautiful.
Forgot about her. Under the radar, she flew.
Mm-hmm.
And also Jennifer Connelly, I should add it to that list back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so there's nothing funny about Dumb and Dumber. It's I looked at all these Farrelly Brother movies, and one's stupider than the other, and it insults my intelligence.
All of them
insult my intelligence. Me, Myself, and Irene, Something About Mary, okay.
That was funny.
All right, I got some.
But gave me a full list.
Fever Pitch was stupid.
I like the Fever Pitch.
Kingpin, ridiculously
stupid.
I thought
Kingpin was funny.
Mild laughs, a couple laughs. Hall Pass, dumb.
Hall Pass was funny.
I liked Hall Pass.
Come on, man.
I can't believe you didn't laugh. Did you watch the entire movie?
Shallow Hal is a classic.
Shallow Hal.
I love Shallow Hal.
Come on, man, with this nonsense.
Shallow Hal is great. Gwyneth Paltrow, even though she insists upon herself, was very entertaining.
She was funny in that.
Get clever. You could star. You could stick that Danny McBride in every one of those movies.
No.
Every one of the movies, he would be a star in.
He couldn't have pulled off Shallow Hal at all.
There's no way he could have pulled off Lloyd.
Shallow Hal was a little more sentimental. So was Fever Pitch. Most of it's just ridiculous gag.
You didn't find one part of Dumb and Dumber funny,
You know what I find funny? Intelligent humor. This is the opposite of intelligent humor. This is the anti-Mike scriptwriter.
I will say,
but it's so
Dumb and
Dumber
is not
funny.
One of my favorites.
What?
I will admit, it's not one of my favorites.
It's but just the slander coming from stupid. Mike. I don't find stupid on top of stupid funny. I find stupid like Anchorman.
Because
stupid,
they're so stupid.
And back off stupid by balancing it with the serious Christina Applegate. It's the rest of it's just ridiculous.
Where the women instinctively flow like the salmon of Capistrano.
Yeah.
Aspen.
610-632-0975. Thomas and Broomall, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Thomas?
Good. So I know you guys were talking about, candy from the 90s. I would say my go-to was the Ouch gum, the Band-Aid, looked like a Band-Aid chewing gum. I'm sure Ty and
I don't even know what the hell you're talking about with that, bro.
Natalie would know, I'm sure.
Band-Aid gum? Yeah.
No. Okay, came in a little tin. You should look it up. But so I wanted to talk about the Paul Pierce statement. Mm-hmm. I would have to agree with him. Sorry, Ty. I don't think LeBron is top five. I would possibly put him in that category once he retires. I'm sure he has a few years left. He can still do more stuff.
Dude. Dude. What?
So
he hasn't done enough for you yet?
He's borderline.
He's borderline.
I'm just saying, because he is still playing, I would not put him top five until he retires and then look back at it.
He's got four championships, right, LeBron? Three. How many does Magic and Kobe have? Five. They both have five? All right.
Well, here's my list. So, Michael, MJ 1, Kobe 2, Kareem 3, Wilt 4, and Jerry West 5. Not sure how you like that or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, you can't put Jerry West above LeBron.
But, okay.
And you put three centers in there? Who'd you put again? What was your Jordan who?
Jordan, Kobe, Kareem, Wilt, West.
Okay, Kareem, Wilt, West. Now, West doesn't belong in the top five.
Okay. Like LeBron, I would say definitely top 10. I would say maybe 6 or 7.
Yeah. Right now, why would you put Kobe over LeBron?
Well, I don't know. Like they say in the, you know, are you a Kobe or a LeBron fan? I always said Kobe. Just because, I don't know, just because of the shooting. I don't think he really took a long, it didn't really, like LeBron with his dunks and everything else, Kobe, he was a pure short shooter, mm-hmm. wasn't he?
Yeah.
Throughout his whole career?
Yeah.
Kobe, I mean, LeBron, you know, the three wasn't there early.
But let me ask you these questions, because he was a better shooter, I get it.
Yeah.
Who was a better rebounder?
Well, LeBron, because he's more
Who was
physical.
A better passer?
Well, definitely LeBron, but I don't know.
Who was a better defender?
LeBron a little bit.
Okay.
More.
That's three categories I gave you.
I mean, I don't know. I'm always a Kobe fan before.
Well, I know you'd be a Kobe fan. I can see why you'd be a Kobe fan, but you gotta, you know, crack the ice sculpture and get inside there.
Yeah, no.
All right, man. Here's your general knowledge question, bro.
All right.
Who led a group of ne'er-do-wells that included Will Scarlet, Alan Adale, and Friar Tuck?
I wouldn't even know.
Oh, man, dude.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's Robin Hood.
Yes.
Robin Hood.
His Merry Men.
Yes.
Just to add, I don't know, facts.
What?
To it, because
facts are important.
What, is this a LeBron fact coming your way?
Yeah, just
okay, all right.
So points.
That offended you, Drew. Thomas.
Yeah, because I thought Thomas was a good guy. So, points, 34,000. LeBron's third all-time in points.
Yeah.
Ahead of Kobe, by the way.
Yeah.
Ahead of Jordan. He's also eighth all-time in assists.
Yeah, you can't put Jerry West. You can't even think of putting Jerry West ahead of him. Now, Jerry West was a great player, but you can't put him in a top five above LeBron.
Like, he has over 34,000 points. Yeah. I just don't know how you just sneeze at 34,000 points at speed of and over 9,000 assists.
Yeah,
no player has close to that kind of ratio in the league.
Thomas wanted to skew it with the two centers, which he's entitled to do. And he had Kareem and Wilt in there. Now, I can't argue if you're going to put centers in there. And a lot of people would put Kobe ahead of LeBron, and that would be misguided, too. But I can live with it. But then when you go West 5th and exclude LeBron from the top five, then, you know, to me, that's not right. All right, so a couple open lines have opened. 610-622-0975. Let's go back to the comparison. And the next alphabetical team is the New Jersey / Brooklyn Nets, which are going to come up really small. I am not putting Julius Erving on the Nets because we've already used him for the Sixers. So you got to go J. Kidd.
Mm-hmm.
Buck Williams.
I love
Buck
Williams.
And that's all I got.
You got to put...
Who else do you put on that list?
Well, you can't... You're not putting anybody
Buck
on two
Williams.
Teams. You're not putting anybody on two teams.
Kmart? You put Kmart on that team?
Well, they're putting guys... They have Julius. They put Vince Carter on it, but you're going to put him on the Raptors?
Yeah. How many years did Vince Carter play with the Nets? I can't put Vince Carter on it.
Oh, 4 or 5.
No, he's more of a Raptor.
All right.
I'm done. Brooke Lopez?
Yeah, they have Brooke Lopez.
This team's getting spanked. J. Kidd, Buck Williams, very underrated. Kmart, and Brooke Lopez? That's terrible. Really, that's it.
They don't have a lot of great players in their history.
You would have to go back to the ABA to fill that roster.
That's why they put Doc on there.
Yeah, but I can't go Doc in the Nets franchise.
Well.
Now, to fill a five, you might have to go back to the New Jersey Nets ABA, in which you go, Super John Williamson? Right? Yeah, who else is on that team? Billy Paltz? The Nets get a Ziggy.
Yeah, they
can't even compete.
No.
All right, so I'll bypass that franchise completely. Tasty Cake Dom is checking in. What's up, man?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, Tasty Cake?
First of all, I wanted to thank you, Ty, and that, you know, we're out here in abnormal times running my route. And, you know, you guys are great that I can get to listen to you guys. That's great.
Thanks, brother, and thanks for listening.
Every day, Mike.
Beautiful.
So I'm in my truck. Now, Mike, that Sixers team is awesome.
Yeah.
And the Celtics team is awesome.
Yes.
But, Mike, when you go Parker, Iceman, Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, we'll get there. We're not there yet. We'll get to the Spurs. I'll hold your horses. We're going alphabetically.
Okay, I'm sorry, Mike. I in my truck, you know.
We're going alphabetically. We're analyzing them alphabetically and seeing which team that we get to is better than the Sixers. And so far, we got Boston, maybe a push.
Unless you're not going to, I guess you're going to put Bill Walton Portland. You could put Bill Walton Boston.
No, he didn't play well for Boston. He wasn't a great Boston Celtic.
He was on the greatest team of all time.
Yeah, but he was like a 15-18 minute player. He was just a bit player at that point.
Okay, I mean he wasn't
a starting center.
That 86 Boston team with him coming off the bench, they were
really, that's what I mean. He was a bench player. He didn't call, he wasn't a starter. So you would give him Portland.
Right. Okay.
Come on, Tasty Gate Dom. Come on. Coming up small for me here. Bill Walton with the Celtics.
No, I'm not. I'm never going over to Celtics.
No, but you can't put Bill Walton with the Celtics.
Seventh guy.
I'm sorry?
I go Sixers over them. I go Sixers.
You would go Sixers over that Boston team, huh? All right.
But in my head, as I'm running my route, coming down the line.
Well, we'll see about the Spurs, because I don't actually think
they're going to be strong.
I don't think you're right about the Spurs beating the Sixers team. So we'll get to that. You want a general knowledge question while we're at it?
Okay.
All right, let's go with this is older school music. So I'm going to take you back to 1963. This folk trio releases Puff the Magic Dragon.
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, Tasty Gang Dom coming up big. Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yes.
Oh, so one of Tyrone's favorites.
Fact
of Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah, live by
the sea.
The fact that they got away with that.
I had that on video as a kid. Is that weird?
What, the concert or the cartoon?
I had the cartoon.
Yeah, so did I.
Was that like a staple in everybody's house? Did everybody have the Puff the Magic Dragon cartoon?
I had it. Watched it many times.
Same. I would watch it on repeat. Yeah, my mom would be like,
so many times. Yeah, I watched it a lot of times.
My mom would say, put on Puff the Magic Dragon.
I'd arrested all of them when they came off stage.
Let me ask you this question. Yeah. Who was with Mary? Was it Peter or Paul?
Oh, I don't know.
There's a joke here, but I'm
not. No, there's no joke.
I know.
I think one of them was involved with Mary.
What? Is it true?
I don't know. I thought you might know.
Oh, no, I don't know.
I believe that they were vying for Mary's attention.
Peter and Paul?
Either Peter or Paulie from Goodfellas won out.
See, you go Goodfellas, I go Apostles.
Well,
I know apostles.
You know,
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
This is my nephew Pete. I mean, Paulie. Sometimes I forget myself.
Were they at the Last Supper?
Ooh, don't Google Peter, Paul, and Mary.
What happened? What controversy?
Like worse.
Well, who vied for the?
Well, that's what I was looking
hand?
For, and I came across something far worse.
Oh, you did?
What was that? Oh, what,
well,
the picture?
I tell you what, it wasn't. I guess it wasn't Peter because he was convicted of making advances towards a 14-year-old girl. So I'm going to assume it was Paul who liked the adults.
Oh, no.
Maybe neither of them was involved with Mary.
Nothing's coming up.
Maybe Mary was the sole practitioner.
Oh, man.
I mean,
come on, Pete.
She kept it all business.
Come on, Pete.
You got to do better than that.
610-632-0975. One line is open. Good time to be here. General Knowledge Wednesday. Giving away to Chip Truck. $100 gift certificate to Carlino's Market, which is a great prize. And we're talking hoops, so we're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get the update on our Twitter poll. But also, I got to tell you, Gem Knowledge Wednesday, we always have fun doing it. And it's brought to us by Testa North America, the choice of HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate tools in their toolbox. When precision measurements matter, be sure with Testa. Natalie Eganoff with the Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moore and Sons. Nat?
Thanks, Mike. Over 400 votes on this one so far. Will the new expanded Rooney Rule be effective? 14% say yes. 86% say no. Wow. So
all right,
nobody has
pretty
faith.
Accurate, and that's why the other measure should have passed. But we'll get to that in a bit. I had a situation yesterday morning. I want to run by everybody. Not a situation, but it's interesting a little development.
Okay.
So my routine in the morning is I get up, I brew the coffee, I nestle in with a cup of coffee, and start going on the internet. And I let my dog out at the same time for her to roam in the backyard. Now, she's got a lot of energy in the morning, and so she scurries out like it's a dog track, and they lifted the gate.
Yeah.
And she's looking for squirrels and birds. Mm-hmm. And she tears, and she sees a squirrel. The squirrel always escapes. By climbing up the fence.
Right.
But now she's in, you know, kind of like energetic mode, and she lately has been sniffing out little moles in the yard.
Oh.
Yeah, so there's little moles. They're like, they're not mice, but they're little.
The little naked ones?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm sipping my coffee. I hear my neighbor yelling. And so I look at the sliding door there. And I see my dog, and she's obviously pawing at the thing, and she's doing the elbow pile driver, like falling on it. They're like trying to squash it, and then I see her flip it up in the air, boom, like that.
Yeah.
And then my neighbor is yelling for my dog to stop it. My neighbor is feeling sorry for the mole.
Oh.
And is saying, get my dog's attention. Hey, stop that. And I'm going, what do I do here? Like, what? I'm in my drawers, so I can't like.
Is this
like what?
Is this the same neighbor who has the beef with Shima from prior?
No. They have big dogs. This is the other neighbor.
Okay.
The other with the big dogs, and we've settled that problem. That's no, you know.
Okay.
Shima, the only reason Shima got beat up by those dogs is because she was small to crawl under the fence.
Right.
So that was a puppy stage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. This is like so like I'm looking like what do I do?
I mean, did you care that she was
going to town
on the mole?
I mean, dogs are, you know, she's a little hunting dog.
Yeah.
You know? She's whatever animal she's going to find, but she's like playing with it. She's not like viciously tearing it apart. She's like just smacking it around and
right.
flipping it up in the air and landing on it. And like, you know, like she's having a blast.
The neighbors should mind their own business.
Yeah, they should.
She's affected by it. Like it's a creature.
Well, she doesn't have
it's
to watch.
It's a creature that's going to go into its demise.
She doesn't have to watch it.
Change the channel.
Well, she's out there with her dogs. She's got two hound dogs. So she's out there with her hound dogs. And she sees Shima doing crazy stuff.
You're telling me the hound dogs don't do anything like that?
Yeah, come on.
The hound dogs bark at people. They're not like they don't go after animals. They don't hunt small game.
They're nothing but hound dogs.
Shiba Inus are like little hunters. They got that that pointy snout that digs into places.
Right.
Well,
so I didn't know what to do.
I would do nothing.
Is it out of line for the neighbor to be yelling at my dog?
A little bit.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah. If I saw my neighbor's dog doing that to a mouse or something, that's none of my business.
Right, and I'm one of the
Unless it's like a cat, then I jump
and
in.
And I'm one of the people to think it's okay if you see a kid, that even a kid you don't know, doing a certain thing wrong. I think it's okay for a stranger to yell at a kid. But a dog being a dog,
I'm watching all the dog's like totally ignoring the neighbor.
Good,
too.
Because
like she's not, like, I'm not even fazed by the yelling at her. And she's had, and she, I see her go, poof, and she flipped the thing and it went like 5 feet in the air and came crashing down.
Yeah, no. That's out of the neighbor's jurisdiction.
No.
All right.
Well, you can't discipline somebody else's dog.
No, the mole's about to plunge to its death at that point.
Yeah, that was a wrap.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, that was the death blow. John in Newcastle, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike, you know, it's your dog, man. The dogs are bred like that. She needs to mind her own business. That's what he's bred for.
Yeah, I mean, she does. She never catches a squirrel or a bird. She at least got the mole. Give her a hand, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, jeez. Hey, it's great to have Natalie back. Now it's great to have you on TV.
Thanks. I'm happy. I didn't know if you wanted to say something.
Go ahead. I'm saying woohoo. Yeah,
man. I'm happy to be back. Thank you.
That would have been Peter, Paul, and Marie if that was the band at that good that good fellas.
Yeah, well, Mary's pretty common too.
Hey, we're talking about Bill Pullman movies, Mike. This is a classic for you. How about that Nicole Kidman one and Alec Baldwin? That's a great.
Oh, movie. Malice. Oh my God!
That's like a top 10 thriller.
Let me tell you something. How sexy is Nicole Kidman in that?
She's a 12 in that.
Oh my God! See, that's the Nicole Kidman I fell for.
Yeah,
that Malice Nicole Kidman with one of the greatest scenes ever in movie history with Alec Baldwin as the doctor explaining himself to the board.
One of the great scenes in cinematic history.
Yeah. If you ask, if you're asking whether there's a God, yeah, I am God, he says. You ever seen that movie? You gotta play that scene. It's one of the great scenes of all time. George C. Scott, Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. That's great. You know, my LeBron point, Tyrone had the best comment today, C-Man had for Paul Pierce. I mean, listen, I grew up a Michael Jordan guy, and watched that The Last Dance and came away with more respect for LeBron from that, because simply put, you would see how exhausted Michael Jordan was after the first three-peat and the second three-peat, and they would say mentally, you think about what LeBron's done. What do you go to, 9 straight finals? 9.
Yeah, 9 straight. That, apparently, that's just a walk in the park.
This guy is unbelievable. I mean, I got Michael Jordan number one, and I got LeBron scratching at him, man. I mean, when this is over, I have so much respect for LeBron, and I love Michael Jordan, but LeBron is just people that don't have him in the top, He might be number one by the time this is all over, brother. I mean, and I'm a Michael guy, and I'll be the first one that will say, when LeBron's number one, LeBron's number one. I mean, LeBron is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So yeah. Infuriating.
Right. Yeah, well, listen, I got Jordan ahead of him, all right? And I love LeBron, you know. So, but there's no way anybody could not put him in a top five. All right, now, you want a general knowledge question?
Sure.
All right, let's see. We're off Peter, Paul, and Mary. Let's go. Highest grossing 1990s movies. So let's go with this one here. Let's go with $251 million. It's like 10th on the list. Top secret agents protect the Earth from intergalactic threats.
Oh, yeah, it's a classic. Men in Black.
That is Men in Black. Grossed a lot. I didn't realize that grossed that much.
Oh, it was huge.
Damn.
And the song? Remember the song? Already
two Will Smith movies.
Ninth all time.
Yeah, it made big bucks.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
I saw that in the theater opening
Same.
Day.
Same.
My boy Kyle Jones.
That was when Will Smith was at like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was actually, he wasn't quite at the peak yet.
Yeah.
He was still on the way up.
You think Will was on the way up there?
Yeah, that was only like his third blockbuster.
Yep.
He did Independence Day, something else, but he was still ascending.
I mean, he was super like hot then.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. But he was still ascending.
It was right after Big Willie style.
Yeah. All right, so on the other side, can you get that?
We played it before.
Oh, we did play it before, yeah.
Yeah.
He's in a deposition. George C. Scott is the higher medical authority, and Peter Gallagher is Nicole Kidman's attorney.
Peter Gallagher,
remember him?
Yes.
Oh, you liked him?
Well, yeah. What? Remember his eyebrows? They did this when they were talking about Peter Gallagher.
I don't remember that.
Oh, never mind.
They don't talk about it. But anyway, they're in the dep room, It's Alec Baldwin's greatest performance ever.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a great scene. And we'll play it after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 3:46. Mike Missinelli. You know what's great about this show is the callers and the listeners. They bring up some things and it triggers like us to go in another direction of entertainment. And I don't know how I forgot, but the guess who the husband is? And Nicole Kidman's husband in this movie. It's Bill Pullman.
No,
again.
No, it's not.
Bill Pullman gets the screws again. He just plays that role all the time. Now, here's the backdrop of this movie, Natalie. Alec Baldwin is the new handsome, hotshot gynecological surgeon.
Oh.
Who has come to the hospital.
Okay.
So, Bill Pullman, as the goofy, unaware hospital administrator employee, befriends Alec Baldwin to the point where he invites Alec Baldwin to rent a room in their house.
Okay.
He's married to Nicole Kidman.
Right.
She's sexier than hell, total mismatch. She obviously falls in love with Alec Baldwin.
Right.
So now the two devise a scam where Alec Baldwin will botch a gynecological surgery on Nicole Kidman. She'll sue the hospital for zillions of dollars because he mistakenly took out her ovary.
What?
Yes. What? So we're talking about some multi-million dollar settlement where Alec Baldwin gets sued, but the hospital has the deep pockets to get sued. And so Nicole Kidman will get the millions out of the settlement and she'll live happily ever after with Alec Baldwin as they move away and he never practices again, but he's with her and they have zillions.
After he takes out her ovary.
Right. So now he gets sued. And of course, he has to come off bad to lose the case. So he decides to go way overboard and just sniff at the people that are accusing him of botching a surgery. And here they are in the depot room. And here it goes.
The question is, do I have a God complex?
Dr. Kessler says yes.
Which makes me wonder if this lawyer has any idea as to the kind of grades one has to receive in college to be accepted at a top medical school. If you have the vaguest clue as to how talented someone has to be to lead a surgical team. I have an MD from Harvard. I am board certified in cardiothoracic medicine and trauma surgery. I have been awarded citations from 7 different medical boards in New England. And I am never, ever sick at sea. So I ask you, when someone goes into that chapel and they fall on their knees and they pray to God that their wife doesn't miscarry, or that their daughter doesn't bleed to death, or that their mother doesn't suffer acute neural trauma from post-operative shock, who do you think they're praying to? Now, you go ahead and read your Bible, Dennis. And you go to your church, and with any luck, you might win the annual raffle. But if you're looking for God, he was in operating room number 2 on November 17th, and he doesn't like to be second-guessed. You ask me if I have a God complex? Let me tell you something. I am God.
Oh, that's Michael Jordan-esque right there.
That's deep.
That's Michael Jordan-esque.
That's deep.
Yeah.
And so the lawyer representative turns to the other lawyer and goes, let's talk tomorrow morning.
Yeah. How do you respond to that?
There's no way he can now defend a case.
No.
I said a hospital lost the case. Boom. And it was intentional. Alec Baldwin just played it out.
Yeah, he did.
I am God.
Yeah.
That's a great soliloquy,
man. That's strong. He's underrated as an actor.
He is. Back in the day, he was pretty good.
I know. Yeah. He was a fox, too.
Yeah, he was a handsome man.
Mm-hmm. He sabotaged that on purpose.
What?
Yeah. He was uncomfortable with that.
What, with being so handsome?
Mm-hmm. And being called handsome. Really? And stuff. So he put on weight and did stuff on purpose. He was uncomfortable with it. He said he worked it out in therapy, like, later.
Hmm.
But, yeah, he was uncomfortable with that because growing up on Long Island, like, yeah, a regular kid with all the brothers and stuff,
yeah,
he apparently, when he got to that stature, he was uncomfortable with
it. And apparently he was so uncomfortable that he married a 32-year-old girl.
No, he's worked it out since.
Yeah, he's worked fine. It out since. Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm hot enough, 32-year-old. Let's go.
Yeah, he's worked it out. Now, I think they have their fifth kid on the way.
Yeah,
now.
That's unbelievable.
Oof.
Come on, Alec. Chris in Marlton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
What's going on, Chris?
Love listening to you guys.
Thanks, buddy.
But what I wanted to add upon was I took a look at the all-time list and everything, and I mean, I may see one team, and I want to get ahead of the show, ahead of the Sixers possibly, and really I'm trying not to be too much of a homer, but when it comes to the Celtics, I mean, the ones we have kind of, you know, hanging in the balance there would be, say, Larry Bird or Barkley, and I'd probably give the edge to Bird. And then when it comes to Cousy and AI, do I even really have to say much more than, I don't know, I think it'd look foolish Cousy to be running around in circles trying to catch him. And then when it comes to Mr. Chamberlain and Mr. Russell, Wilt played 78, I believe, more games than Mr. Russell. And when it comes down to it, it's not even close. I mean, he's got 31,000 to 14,000 points. He's got 23, almost 24,000 rebounds to 21.6. Assists, he's got 4,600 and he's got 4,100.
Well, are you going with the Sixers here?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean,
okay. All right. The only thing that balances that is that Wilt didn't win. And so all those numbers maybe people look at as hollow rather than Russell who won.
No, understood. And I mean, I do agree. But, you know, when you're just putting five on the court, and that's, I don't know. I just have a feeling that's not really going to be much of a comparison when it comes to that.
Yeah. Iverson goes so far ahead of Cousy.
Yeah.
It's not even funny. But in Irving and Pierce and Bird and Bird wins, or Irving would win over Pierce. Well, Russell, I don't know how to characterize that, you know?
I don't know. He had a quadruple double while he played against Bill Russell one time. He had, you know,
the numbers, you're absolutely right. There's no comparison. But the balance is 11 titles.
All the chips. I know.
You know? I mean, that's ridiculous. All right, man. Let me give you a general knowledge question here.
Most definitely.
All right, this is 1970s American TV trivia. What was the name of the housekeeper on the Brady Bunch?
It's Miss Allison.
What did you just say? What did you say?
Miss Allison or something like that.
You said Allison?
Yeah.
Oh. So close, but it was Alice.
Yes.
What was her name in real life? Something B?
Yeah.
She had a B middle
name. She did have a B middle name. What was her name? Hold on.
I don't know.
I knew it. Yeah, oh, wait.
She had an initial. B something.
Yes, she did. Hold on. I remember.
Ann B. Davis. There it was. Ann B. Davis.
She popped up in the middle.
Yeah, by the way, we forgot a guy. Booney reminds me. We forgot a guy from the Nets. Drazen Petrovic.
Yeah, he's a good player. He
was almost as good a shooter as Korkmaz.
Almost. Now, how many years was he there?
Drazen?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he made a big splash, though, when he was there. If we were talking about the Nets, you can't leave him off a Nets team.
He was
a star.
I gotta look at the numbers.
Yeah, you gotta kill.
He played for them for 3 years.
Well,
so Vince Carter's ahead of him.
I don't know, man. For Drazen was the Nets for those 3 years. He was lofty.
All right. I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, you can put Vince on it, too. I mean, I don't know. We're so thin on the Nets that I can't imagine we could leave Petrovic off. But anyway, that's going to the 4 o'clock hour. And we'll go down the list. We come back. Let's do the Spurs. Since we had Tasty Cake Dom saying Spurs, then we'll also talk to Derek Gunn in the 4 o'clock hour, right at 4 o'clock. And we'll talk some Eagles issues with D. Gunn. That's coming up right here on the Mike Misnelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.